Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
They're open, of course. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Captain here as normal on our Saturday night, but Pete Listen Out Here is out.
Did you just call me normal?
Usual?
Standard, okay, that's fine.
Standard episode?
Regular?
Standard edition? Free Talk Live? Our normal other guy, who's also your usual co-host on Beard Talk Live, which will not be happening later tonight because of his absence, is Peakless Mountaineer. He is at a poker tournament tonight, which just so happened to...
I hope he wins.
Yeah, well, if he does, he gets a full set of New Hampshire Goldbacks as the prize.
Ooh, what circa what year?
I don't know.
The current ones, or are they like the classic
ones? The original one, yeah, 2021.
The 2019 or whatever it was, the first ones?
Well, no, New Hampshire didn't exist in 2019 as a goldback.
So 2020 is the first?
I think there's a limited print of 2020 New Hampshire.
I asked because I have some 2020s, and I think I
hold on to those.
I think I have a full set, but and I only know this because I recently got my South Dakota set.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been collecting. Whenever they release a new state, I just buy.
Before we keep going on goldbacks, which I'm happy to do, I want to introduce our guest host, because Peakless Mountaineer is out, and it just happened to open up a slot for David Hathaway, the sheriff from Santa Cruz County, Arizona, who has been a, I would say, regular-ish caller on the show. Welcome, David. Great to have you.
Yeah, good evening, Ian and Captain. Yeah, I didn't even know the Goldbacks had a year. I just knew the different states. Utah and Nevada, I think.
Well, if you're going to make a gold product or a silver product, you might as well stamp a year on it, because then you get that collectible value factoring into it. What do they call it? Numismatic, I think,
This is exactly what's happened to goldbacks, too, is like they've changed the design on a couple of states from the original issue for that state. And also put a year of issue on the goldbacks. So if you have the original, what was the first year of the Utah?
2019
Utah goldbacks. Like, that design is different than the 2022, 2023 goldbacks. So if you have a set of the originals, they're worth more because of the collectible value, because of the date stamp on them, and also the difference in design.
I wonder, are there any other states in the offing that are planned to, to come along next, maybe we don't know?
None of us work for Goldback officially, but...
And they don't sponsor us, and we talk about them incessantly.
Yeah, but they don't need to.
No, they don't.
They are so popular just by word of mouth.
They've got their own problems with not being able to keep up with demand.
Yeah, they've had to open up new production facilities, and the demand is crazy. So, to answer your question, the way it works, as I understand it, is if you want a state, say Arizona, for instance, to become a goldback state, it has to be sponsored. There has to be somebody who comes up with X amount of dollars to put into buying gold to produce goldbacks for that state. And the formula, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's based on population. So a low population state like a South Dakota isn't going to cost as much as a heavier populated state, like I presume Arizona is probably a few multiples of South Dakota. I don't know offhand what the population is down there. So the more population, the more expensive the production run is going to be, and so the more somebody has to have deep pockets.
The more years the goldbacks are out there, I get happier and happier, because there's no way to pull them back. It's just precious metal. Just like when Roosevelt tried to take in the gold coins, A whole bunch of them survived. You know, it's it's not really trackable. You know, it doesn't have a number, a code associated
with
it.
Well, they actually do have numbers associated with them, but, I mean, they're not trackable in a sort of the traditional sense. You don't know where X1234 happens to be at any given moment, but they are, each gold back is assigned a unique number.
At least, it's not like a mutual fund or a stock fund where they're reporting to the government, you know, your gains and losses and your trades and all that. It's just kind of once it's there, it's out there in the public. And I'm so glad that something hasn't happened like that happened to the, was it the Peace Dollar?
Liberty Dollar.
Evansville, Indiana. They had the Ron Paul's image on that, where I guess there's still got to be some of those out there. But I think before the big release could happen, they got raided by the feds, and they kind of shut that down.
Well, the Liberty Dollar was
Bernard Von Nothaus.
He was the founder. He used to work with a Hawaiian mint. So, like, you know, he knew his stuff when it came to minting silver pieces and things like that. It was around for about a decade before they shut it down. I think it started in 1998. It rose to being the most used or the most dollar value or whatever. They were like the biggest alternative currency in the United States at the time when they existed. Goldback has, by the way, eclipsed that. So the, and I don't remember what the numbers were, but it was something like $5 million worth of the Liberty Dollar was in quote-unquote circulation. Now, we know most of it was just sitting in somebody's safe or in their drawer or whatever. They weren't usually circulating that often, but that's how much had been minted, that's how much had been purchased, that kind of thing. And I think goldbacks are like doubling or tripling or quadrupling that or something already after just less than half a decade at this point, whereas Liberty Dollar took a lot longer. And there are reasons for that. You know, the goldback is just more useful. I mean, it's a one
by far.
Yeah, it's 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. And it's for listeners that have not seen this, please go to goldback.com, check it out, get yourself one of these from the various different dealers that are out there that offer them, and you will, I think you'll fall in love with it, and that's why, again, they don't have to advertise this thing. But to be able to pull out what is essentially a $4 worth of gold, that tends to be what they're trading at right now, and, you know, buy some eggs or buy some milk or whatever, you just can't do that even with an ounce of silver, because silver is just, you know, an ounce of silver is $25, and there's only so much that you can do with that. So having it that fractional gold, and it's just so attractive with the artwork on it. I mean, we could go on forever about the beauty.
Yeah, you know, as far as I know, where we live in Arizona is not in a community or an economy where they accept them readily, or at least I'm not familiar with businesses, but we do try to give them out.
Yeah. Okay, or, you know, how does that go?
Birthday presents, and did people look at it? And it's kind of self-explanatory, because it'll say on it, if you give them the one denomination, it'll say 1/1000th of an ounce of gold.
Right.
And, you know, you can explain it to them, but it's not something they're going to throw away once they understand what it is, you know, that it's actual gold.
Yeah, if there's ever any kind of correcting that needs to be done, it's some people will see the one and they'll think, oh, it's a $1 gold back.
Yeah.
No. This is worth more than that.
And they're kind of dodging some of the bullets that came about with the Liberty Dollar, where trying to not use any of the lingo that sounds...
That's intentional.
Very intentional.
If you've listened to... Well, at Porkfest this year, it wasn't Jeremy, it was Ben. From Goldback was there, and he was on Free Talk Live. He sat down, you know, with us, but he also gave a couple other talks while he was there. And in one of them, he went into great detail about how they have researched things like the Liberty Dollar and every other attempt at some sort of alternative currency. And this is why with the Goldbacks, the denominations are different, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the 1, the 5, the 10, they skip 20 and go right to 25 before they go to 50.
Right.
They've changed, part of the design changes on some of the older goldbacks for the new ones, are they changed some of the language that's written on the goldback itself. So there used to be language that said something like spendable currency or something like that, and now it's like gold spendable instrument or something like that. They changed the language slightly on the printing of the goldbacks as well, because they're trying to stay ahead of that curve. They know that if they ever get pegged by the government as trying to compete with the actual dollar, that, you know, government's going to come in, raid them, shut them down, you know, all the force and the violence that's involved with that, just like they did with...
We saw what happened here,
the Liberty Dollar and, you know, what they're trying to do with cryptocurrency now and that kind of thing.
They went after him for counterfeiting, by the way,
right.
if I recall correctly.
Right, because it was called the Liberty Dollar.
Right.
They used the same lingo that they, and so, like, Goldback is being smart, or at least trying to be smart about it. That's not to say that the government can't come in and do whatever the heck it is they sure. want to if they decide that it is competition and just, like, shut them down anyway. But they are giving it their all to try and be in front of this curve.
And the numbers could all be articulated as this is a bullion weight. You know, it's a bullion instrument.
Right.
So,
yeah. In fact, the 2022 edition of the New Hampshire Goldback, I have yet to see the redesigned 2023. I don't know if they have come out yet. But it says specie legal tender instrument
right.
at the top. So, and when I actually met the Goldback founder in 2019, I was in Nevada at the Freedom Fest. I don't know if you've ever attended. I met him there.
And okay, at that Freedom Fest.
At 2019.
I believe it was 2019.
We were at the same event. Didn't even meet each other.
In a conference of a bunch of neocons, as it turned out, you know, like
was, I don't know if it was half and half, but there was a good chunk of voluntarist, anarchist, libertarian types. It might have been like 75-25 or something like that. There were a lot of the freedom people there. But you know, when I met Jeremy Corden, who's the founder of Goldback, he at the time had only created the ones and the fives. He didn't, you know, he'd had designs for the rest, but they hadn't been made yet. So that's how early on it was. The thing hadn't really come out. He was just kind of shopping it around. He didn't have a booth at that time, and now they've become like the number one sponsor of Freedom Fest. I've not been to Freedom Fest in years because I'm not allowed to leave New Hampshire. But they get like a massive booth now, and they're of course a top sponsor at Pork Fest.
I was going to say they did the same thing at Pork Fest this year. They went from like a smaller but yet high traffic booth to like a big booth down. By
the
fire.
Main area, yeah.
So they, you know, up their game, if you will.
They've had a tremendous, you know, rise in popularity. Anyway, I had brought up the Liberty Dollar to Jeremy during our interview because, you know, this thing's amazing. I definitely want to ask him questions, you know, learn more about it. And he was well aware of the Liberty Dollar and what had happened to the Liberty Dollar, with the government raiding their vault, taking God knows how much gold and silver from them, the Ron Paul pieces, as you you mentioned. And he said, you know, very specifically, they learned those lessons from the Liberty Dollar, and they were not going to duplicate the failures of the Liberty Dollar. And there were a lot of things that Liberty Dollar didn't really do that well, that Goldback has absolutely done
so well.
But, of course, the thugs and the tyrants can come up with new rationale and new arguments and just start calling it something, money laundering or inciting civil unrest, you know, not to give anybody any ideas, but, you know, they can just come up with a totally new bogus argument and come raid you anyway.
Well, the good news about, and you're absolutely right about that, but at least the good news is the gold business has been around for a long time, right? So there's been people selling various different types of gold for many decades. Certainly they can change the game and change the rules, but at least there's some track record there. Whereas with Bitcoin, as we learned with the Crypto 6 case, they can just say Bitcoin is a commodity, or they can say it's a security, or they can say it's money or funds or whatever. Whatever it is that's convenient for them, they're saying it, and that way they can bring prosecutions against people like me and Aria and some of the rest of our friends, and they can also bring civil cases, quote-unquote, against people like Library, these companies and these designers, bring criminal charges against the Tornado Cash designers. I mean, it doesn't matter what Bitcoin actually is, which is, of course, code. It's freedom of speech. It is ones and zeros. Somebody wrote some words down and turned it into a program.
And it's a new technology, right? Yeah. It's like the government is trying to shoehorn cryptocurrency into laws made for broadcast radio.
Yeah, well, basically.
Right? Because they're like, well, we know it's not really radio, but people can upload stuff to it. And so if they can upload a podcast or a radio show to the cryptocurrency blockchain thing, then it must be broadcast. Like, they can say it's whatever they want because it's misunderstood as a technology, or at least government refuses to define it.
Yeah. It may be purposely misunderstood.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
No, I think that they refuse to define it on purpose for the express purpose of prosecuting people at will.
You know, speaking of Aria, when I was driving from Boston yesterday in the middle of the night, I saw a sign that said Devon's, and I just wondered, is that the same as the Devon's FMC? Is that on the way? Is that between here and Boston?
Probably. Honestly, I've never been.
Well,
so
maybe I'd stop in for a visit on the way back, but I don't know. I just saw the word Devon's and that
was
approved.
Going to federal prison as a visitor is completely different than going to like a state facility, as I understand it. Different states may be different, but at least up here, if you just, you know, go online, you can schedule an appointment and go see anybody you want to see that's in the system. But there, in federal prison, ARIA has to basically put you on a list.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to fill out a form, and then they'd have to approve you. And so, unfortunately, it is not something that can be done in, you know, 24 hours. I don't even know how many weeks you need for that one. But, yeah, they don't make it easy.
We do have a host who goes and visits on a regular basis.
Nikki does, yeah. And some of her friends from Domino's go on a pretty much a weekly basis to go see her. So at least she is seeing some, you know, real life people. For those that don't know, we're talking about Aria DiMezzo. Her website, ariadimezzo, DIMEZZO.com. There's instructions there on how you can write to Aria.
Please write her a letter.
And I think that's what we need to change the live read over to, from talking about writing a letter to the judge to talking about writing letters to Aria.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's nice to get letters while you're in jail. Let's see. Goldbacks, I think we covered that. South Dakota just came out, so
yeah,
you know,
check
those out. The artwork looks great. You've gotten the whole set, Captain? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever they release a new state, I just like, I started with the Utah ones,
yeah,
and I bought like a whole set as soon as it was, you know, a thing. And I'm like, okay. And I bought several sets, actually, because I was getting them for under market value, and then I was turning around and selling them for, you know, a little bit of fee on top of it, right? So I was making a little bit selling full sets, right? I wasn't selling individuals. Occasionally I'd sell individuals, but really I was, I had a way of packaging them in a nice little sleeve, and you put the whole set in one, it's all stacked nicely,
cool,
and all that kind of stuff. So I was providing a little added value there. But it started with the Utahs and then the New Hampshires and then,
Nevada
and then the New Hampshire and then, Montana and now South Dakota.
Wait, is there a Montana one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I forgot about them.
Yeah. So I've got a set of, every time they release a new state, I buy a set for my personal collection.
Yeah.
And then depending on what the price is, if I think that there's some value in buying multiple sets, I might do that, but I didn't with this one. I just bought the one set.
So we're going to talk more about money coming up here in a little bit with an update on what's been happening in Nigeria. It's a story we covered months ago on this program.
The E-Naira.
Where there were massive, I don't even know if protest is the right word, let's call it riots, massive riots.
Oh, people got shot.
Yeah, people smashing bank buildings, destroying bank ATMs, things like that. We covered that on this show. It was absolutely fascinating. So there's an update, and it's a pretty interesting one. We'll share that with you. But a little bit more, David, about your background. I mean, we've had you as a caller, I would say extensively. You've sometimes called, and we've had
you on
for multiple segments. Always interesting things to talk about. You are the sheriff, the elected sheriff of Santa Cruz County, Arizona. This is a border county. It includes Nogales, correct?
That's correct. It's the there are four border counties in Arizona that border the state of Sonora, Mexico, and the county where I live has the biggest ports of entry with Mexico. So there's a lot of movement of commerce. It's estimated that 50% of all fresh fruits and vegetables consumed in the United States during the winter comes through that port of entry. That's the big business. And it stands to reason because we live in a northern climate. We don't have a year-round growing season. So if you go to Kroger or Walmart or Aldi's and you're able to get your tomatoes and lettuce and mangoes year-round, it's because of that cross-border traffic that comes up here. So it's a very important function. It shows how free trade, free enterprise really works. You take advantage of specialties. You know, people have economic advantages. It may be, the access to labor, the access to an ocean where you can get your tilapia, or the access to a certain type of terrain that's good for growing berries or apples or vegetables. So that's the access point from Central America and Mexico for all the fresh fruits and vegetables that come to the U.S. And when people talk about, we don't need Mexico, let's just shut it down, we can produce everything we need in the United States, it's very naive, because they don't know how much we depend on, you know, Even if you're a build the wall Republican, you know, you want to go get your head of lettuce and you want to get your tomato and you want to get your oranges when you want them. And that comes from free international trade. And another thing that's done right across the line there in Mexico is what's called the maquiladora in industry. And I've heard Mark talk something about the maquilas, you know, in other countries. But what it is, it's a zone where it's kind of like a duty-free zone.
Oh, really?
And it's for assembly plants, mainly run by U.S. companies in Mexico that are constrained by regulatory agencies on what they can do in the U.S. So what little is left of the U.S. automotive industry depends on this maquiladora industry, which create the wiring harnesses and other subcomponents for the U.S. automotive industry, and those things are shipped into the U.S. so that they can ultimately say made in the U.S. Assembled in the U.S. So it's the county has a unique history. My family is a ranching family. They moved there from Dodge City, Kansas to Tombstone, Arizona in the 1800s, before Arizona was a state. Arizona became a state in 1912, so I have ranching property in two counties in Arizona, Santa Cruz County and Cochise County. And then in 1912, those properties were officially homesteaded when Arizona became a state, but they were owned. My family still had deeds to those properties before Arizona became a state. And there were some Spanish land grants that used to be part of Mexico, part of Spain before that. And those were also honored. But as most of those Western states, there's a whole lot that's just government property. That's bombing ranges, Department of the Interior, Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service. There's Indian reservations out there. So not a large amount of Arizona is privately owned, which is too bad. But
well, that's true of a lot of places west of the Mississippi, isn't it? I mean, we usually cite the statistic, it's two-thirds is federal, quote-unquote, property when you look west of the Mississippi. And that's probably sounds like that's true or more so in Arizona.
Yeah, I have properties out there that are completely surrounded by federal land. So it's kind of, in a way, it's a unique beneficial situation that I can pretty much do what I want and not have neighbors complaining. But on the other hand, if the feds have you hemmed in, they could basically shut you off from polite society also, you know, if they decided to come in and raid you or surround you or do some Ruby Ridge type of a thing.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I enjoy living out there. Like, I feel kind of lost out here in New England.
Mainly, this is your first time. I don't know if we mentioned that on the air.
Yeah, this is my first time in New England, and when we were driving yesterday from Boston, it was overcast and it was raining. Yep. And in Arizona, I'm used to always knowing which direction I'm facing. Like, there's large mountains. Like, there's a 9,000-foot mountain range to the north of the town I live in, Nogales. And the big city next to us is Tucson, and there's other 9,000-foot mountain range on the north side of Tucson. So you can always kind of tell which way you're heading, north, south, east, or west. Plus, you can always see the sun out there, too, so I can tell.
Yeah.
It's morning. That must be east. And the
city doesn't get a lot of rain down there, huh?
Our rainy season is kind of July through September, and we had a very poor rainy season this year. But
well, we had the opposite. It's been raining a ton here this this summer. We got more coming up here with Sheriff David Hathaway. There's actually, you mentioned the property that your family owns. There's some sort of an issue that you have with that you want to talk about here tonight, a ghost town that you have. We'll get into it coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us as well here on Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News Update. On the brink of a federal government shutdown, the House on Saturday afternoon quickly approved a 45-day funding bill to keep federal agencies open as Speaker Kevin McCarthy dropped his demands for steep spending cuts and relied on Democratic votes for passage and to send the package to the Senate. The new approach would leave behind aid to Ukraine, which was a White House priority, opposed by a growing number of GOP lawmakers. California Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away Thursday night at the age of 90. She was the oldest senator, and she had served in the Senate for 30 years, being first elected to the position in the early 1990s. Feinstein had suffered from frail health for months before she passed. A bout with shingles caused her serious complications and forced her to use a wheelchair. California Governor Gary Newsom will appoint someone to temporarily fill the seat until the upcoming primaries in March. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, a live Saturday show. The phones are open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Bring up anything you want. We're talking with our guest co-host tonight, Sheriff David Hathaway. He's in the studio with us.
Is the sheriff in the house?
A real sheriff.
Oh,
in
boy.
The Free Talk Live studio. No one saw that one coming, let me tell you.
You're not going to arrest me for violating some sort of speech rules tonight, are you?
No. I don't even carry a gun.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
As part of the job down there?
No, I don't. I don't carry a gun. And
really?
I don't mean thanks for not carrying a gun, but thanks for not arresting me.
I own a lot of guns, but, you know, I just don't want to have any image of being pretentious or of running anybody's life. I've never put on a uniform, and people ask me that, and I say, no, I don't want that air of officialdom, you know, and I'm kind of a big guy, so, you know, also... I may wind up intimidating people, you know, a guy with a gun and the badge and the uniform, so I just don't do that.
That's surprising, and a pleasant surprise. By the way, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, and, of course, the rising fees on Bitcoin have made that not so useful when it comes to purchases. But Dash continues to have fees of less than 1 cent per transaction. and its features ensure that Dash is undefeated as the most useful crypto in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible. Its network's protected from the dreaded 51% attack by the Chainlocks technology. If you're an engineering sort, go look that one up. It'll be fascinating. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's coming up on 10 years old, by the way, which is old for a crypto.
A decade.
And is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org.
I just want to say, David, thank you. Because I've been saying for, I don't even know, maybe 4 years, I don't remember when I first said it, police, and this includes sheriffs, of course, you know, in this general, you know, sort of law enforcement bucket, they have a horrible reputation in the United States, just in general across the board.
Yep.
And every time something like a gun control bill comes up, it's always some politician or some, you know, chief of police or somebody who's reciting, you know, we've had X amount of shootings and that's why, and we need to, you know, clamp down, that kind of thing. And I've said, every time a story comes up about police shooting your dog or they threw a grenade in the wrong apartment into a baby's crib or whatever, this kind of stuff, I've said many times, all the police need to do is get together and, you know, if they want to show us how it's done, put your guns down.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, I'm just sad to say the sheriffs in Arizona are no exception to that. And, you know, there's this kind of movement nowadays.
But it only takes one guy, right? And I just want to say thank you and applaud you for choosing not to carry the gun as you go about your business.
Yeah. And, you know, the there's an Arizona Sheriff's Association that consists of all 15 sheriffs in Arizona. There's 15 counties in Arizona. And they've done draconian things. They want to pretend like they are freedom crusaders. But at the same time, the Sheriff's Association has drafted letters that are supposed to be the voice of all sheriffs to Arizona. Like, there was one about...
And you won't sign on to it. I want to hear about it. Just, we'll make a note. We'll come back to it. But I got Chris on the line here, and he's a podcast listener. Chris, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ian, I really want to say thank you, because this show, hearing you guys every night, it's really changed my life. I've always kind of been an anarchic kind of person, you know, no government and all that. But it was the discussions of personal responsibility and stuff like that. I never heard anything like that anywhere. And at the time that I found your show, it was 2007. I was working at Wendy's, making nothing an hour, trying to struggle and survive. And I'm now a business owner. I make decent money because I finally took charge of my life.
Nice. And that's awesome.
It was you and Mark and just... I'm sorry. I struggle to express myself sometimes.
Okay.
But you know, listening to you guys and you get going back and forth and the topics that you guys talked about, it brought to mind that I can't let anybody control my life. I can't hope that something's going to happen and somehow somebody's going to hand me what I need. And, you know, now I do well.
You know, Chris, and that's the American dream. You know, if you look at supposedly the principle this country was founded on, and it can work. You know, we don't need an outsider to come in and tell us how to run our life or provide us resources. And the ones that purport to do that are all taking a cut off the top of anything they take from everyone else. And then, you know, I'm a sheriff, but even a sheriff or a sheriff's office is not a market creation. You know, there's this saying that people vote with their dollars. They vote with their money, and they get more of what they want. They get more of what benefits society, and they get less of things that harm society. So even something like a sheriff's office, people want to act like that's a revered institution, but that's not a market creation. People didn't vote with their dollars and say, we want this number of deputy sheriffs. It's just a local government entity pulls a number out of the air, but maybe it would be less, maybe it would be more, or maybe everybody would want to handle their own security, or they would want options for security services. So you're exactly right. It's not just a utopian pipe dream. If the leeches would leave us alone, we would all be able to help each other more, and those price signals would function. People would get more of what really benefits society.
No doubt.
Chris, I'm really glad we were able to help you, you know, take more responsibility.
16 years he's been listening?
16 right? years, is that right? Wow. That's amazing. And so what's the business that you do, if you don't mind saying? Like, what did you went from being, you know, working at Wendy's for X amount an hour, and now you're doing something I presume you love to do?
Yeah, I'm an owner-operator truck driver.
That's great.
Oh, great.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
Indeed, yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you on the road right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You do cross-country?
For the most part, I tend to stay pretty regional, but I do end up just about everywhere. I've actually been not too far from Keene at times, and it's beautiful country up there, and I'm going to be up there in about 4 years when my daughter turns 18.
So. Nice. All right. Cool. We don't have a lot of truck stops in Keene, unfortunately, but they do come through here, so there must be somewhere they're parking on occasion. Chris, we'll look forward to seeing you. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
No, just good luck with everything on Monday.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the call tonight. And of course, he's referring to the sentencing part two of the sentencing federal
because government can't even make a complete sentence the first time.
That started 3 weeks ago and hopefully will end tomorrow, although there's a lot to be discussed, apparently, and there's going to be an interesting... the first time, it was kind of legalistic and it was kind of boring, with the exception of the poor scam victims they dragged in to tell their horrifying stories. Last time, there was a lot of like judge talk with a lot of confusing legalese. This time, you know, I don't know if that'll happen, but there's definitely going to be an interesting legal discussion where the government people, the prosecutors, are going to be arguing that I should pay restitution
right.
to people who lied to me to get me to sell
and
them.
And voluntarily gave you their money.
And if anybody wants to show up for that and show support for Ian, it's going to be 10 a.m. at the federal courthouse in Concord, New Hampshire. So if that's
Monday morning,
within driving distance, I know Ian would appreciate that.
Yeah, come on out.
There's a protest going on beforehand as well. I don't know how early it starts.
I heard it's 8:30.
Yeah.
But you may want to get in there sooner rather than later if you want to get a seat. Because there were a lot of people that showed up. And I'm really grateful for that. Of course, the government brought in a lot of people as well to fill in. You know,
it's so weird because you can tell who the government people are because
they're all
non-government
black
people,
suits.
Well, yeah, and they all have like laptops and cell phones that they're on the whole entire
right.
time. Right.
Right.
Because they don't allow everybody to have those. Only the approved government people can have those.
Right.
And so when you go in and you see the pews, yeah, they're pews.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the pews Church. on the government side, if you will, the right-hand side where the prosecution sits, you see the pews full of people with their laptops out and they're typing or blogging or they're on their phones, on their Twitter, on their Facebook, whatever it is they're doing, right? You can look over their shoulder and kind of get an idea of what they're doing. They're doing all the same stuff that we would be doing, right? Mm-hmm. They're blog posting, they're Twitter, you know, they're doing all that kind of crap. They're checking their emails, they're scheduling their kid's softball tournament, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not doing any actual official government
so
business.
Are they kind of segregated, there. Like friends of the bride and friends of the groom, like on
like,
each side?
Like they tried...
I don't think there's a hard rule about it.
They tried for part one to make it so that anyone that was there to support Ian could only fill up the left half, right? And then the right half they tried to like occupy with all of their government goons.
Now there were still some of my supporters
being
on the right
some
side.
Spillover because they didn't have quite enough people to fill them all the way, and well, there were way more than enough people.
Did they
to
reserve
see
them
Ian.
Though? Did they have like
no?
Some guy
I think they just
them?
Showed up, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure like what the. I don't remember seeing that many like suits and laptops walk by me because I was kind of standing in the hall. But then again, I was talking to a whole bunch of people, so I could have been distracted. Yeah. So I didn't pay it any attention because I just figured whatever, right? But then like as I got in and as the proceedings started, I was like, hey, that whole half is almost government people, right? Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting because they're going to try to argue that I should pay restitution to people who were scammed, sadly, online. And part of the scam was they bought Bitcoin from me. And part of the scam was they lied to me to buy Bitcoin from me to get me to sell them the Bitcoin. And now the government people are saying that I should be the one to pay for what the scammers did to these people.
This case is like
crazy.
This case is like somebody conned some old lady into extracting her life savings out of her savings account
in
the bank, and then used it with cash to buy a valuable painting.
Yeah, well, it's
right? And then the painting gets sold to somebody else, right? And the government's going after the guy who sold the painting.
That's like you have a bully on the playground, and he goes up to another kid and says, "Hey, do you have your lunch money?"
Yeah.
Take it and go buy a candy bar from that guy over there and bring it to me.
Right.
And then Ian's the guy selling the candy bar.
Right. You know? Exactly.
And I go to prison for bullying.
Yeah. No, they have the three little old ladies they trotted out as, victims of, being swindled out of their life savings or whatever. The government, even as the judge says, the prosecution, has done a real good job of convincing them that Ian is the romance scammer. And that has not been proven at all in any way, shape, or form.
They never even alleged it.
No, they've never even alleged
it. They admitted in court that I wasn't involved in the scam.
Right.
They admitted that.
Right. And so these three little old ladies, when they read their statements, now these statements, supposedly aren't coached and, that kind of a thing, but they were just very like, Ian is a bad man for scamming us out of our money. They think Ian somehow is the romance. And when that, it is not even close to being the case.
Yeah, the
guy is still out there. What do they say?
Jerry Harmon,
something like that.
The government, one of his many names, I'm sure.
The government even admitted during your trial that some of these ladies had been in contact with this guy as soon as like a week up until before the actual trial happened. So like the scammers out there still doing scamming. The FBI has caught zero romance scammers using Bitcoin or dollars or any other form of value, right? The government has caught zero of them. Mr. Freeman here has caught at least one of them, right? By his own accord, through his own testimony, right? It's like he has caught more romance scammers and made, people whole more so than the government has.
Yeah. In my former career as a DEA agent, there are procedures in the federal government to relieve innocent third parties who get caught up in something. And I have done those investigations. Like, let's say there's a rental car company whose car was used to smuggle cocaine or something like that.
Probably happens all the time.
Yeah, as draconian as the federal drug laws are, and they shouldn't exist, there are procedures where that company files what's called a claim and cost bond, and the agent does what's called a petition investigation, and I've done many of those, and then you return the say it's an asset, you return it to the innocent third party, or you exculpate, you pull the innocent third party if they get somehow charged, you pull them out of the process because it's shown that they had nothing to do with the quote-unquote illegal activity.
Right.
So there are procedures for that, but there's just, obviously in this case, there's no intent to go after the ones that actually, did the scams, the actual scammers, to try to identify them.
Nope, there was no. In fact, they testified during the trial. The victims of these scammers, more than one of them testified that the FBI never asked them a single question about who the scammer was or how to get in touch with them or set me up with a call with them or whatever.
Didn't somebody on the prosecution say that there is no investigation into the romance scammer?
I think they later tried to claim, like, well, we're going to start looking into it. They tried to act like, we were going to get to that. Sure you were. Sure you were.
Yeah, sure you raided this little studio in Keene twice, you bastards.
Yeah. So that's happening Monday. It's 10 a.m. Again, if you're going to be in the New England area, come on up and see it. It should be interesting, to say the least. So we were talking about you as the sheriff, David, from Arizona down in Santa Cruz County. And you were just about to tell us about this Sheriff's Association that has, all 15 sheriffs, they're members of it. What were you going to say about them?
Yeah, the president is typically whoever is the biggest neocon in the association gets elected to the status of president. And then he will draft letters, statement letters from the whole organization and send them out as if they're being authored or as if they are position statements
for all the
15 sheriffs in Arizona.
Are you a member of this organization?
Yeah, just by default.
Okay.
You know, everyone's just kind of a member and you get on the email list and all that. I think I could probably pull out of that organization, but it's kind of neat to get their emails and see
what they're up to.
But one of the ones, let me just give you an example, Ian. There was a very noble effort in the Arizona legislature to kind of modify the civil asset forfeiture rules that says there has to be an underlying crime charged and there has to be a conviction before you can forfeit an asset, a car, a money, or anything. So what it did, and it just changed very few words, and it said there must be an underlying conviction. Now, the money could be seized or the asset pending the proof of guilt for this individual. So let's say... Captain, you went and robbed the 7-Eleven, and you got $100. And then there's video footage of you committing this act. Somebody chases you down and retrieves the $100 out of the car. So under this new modified law, there's an underlying crime. They could charge you with the crime if 7-Eleven was willing to be put themselves down as the victim and, you know, and sign a complaint. And then that money would be held until you were convicted and you were found guilty, and then it could be forfeited and used as restitution to pay back 7-Eleven. But what it would not allow the government to do is what they're doing now, even at the southwest border, even at the Mexican border in the town where I live. CBP is now searching vehicles that are leaving the U.S. So you have U.S. agents, U.S. authorities searching cars as they leave. So it's kind of like an East Berlin type scenario. You know, if you build a wall, then it's not only going to keep people from coming in, but it's going to keep you from leaving. Like if you want to expatriate and take your gold coins or your money and go live in Mazatlan or Acapulco or something like that,
right. They
will actually take your money.
Wow.
And then with no underlying crime, not charging you with a crime, and require you to claim that back and then prove that it's legitimate income, prove, IRS paperwork or something to show that you legitimately.
Right. They turn around and put the burden of proof on you instead of the burden of proof on them as to whether or not a crime has been committed.
Yeah. So say, you know, I have 9 kids. Say somebody kidnapped one of my 9 kids. And then they wanted ransom, and I paid them $10,000 ransom. Well, if somebody was to retrieve that money, there is an underlying crime. That person could be charged with kidnapping. The money could be retrieved, and then the case would go through the courts
right. And
see if this person is actually guilty, if that really is my money, and then the money would be paid back. So back to the Sheriff's Association. They called me personally and badgered me, emailed me saying, we have to have this be a unanimous letter, a statement to the legislature, to the governor, that we can't do this. And the letter was so goofy, it said, this is a very important source of funding for all of our operations, for our drug task forces. We rely on this money.
What is civil asset forfeiture?
Civil asset forfeiture money without an underlying conviction. And all the modification to the law said, it wasn't undoing the law, it just added language to say, there must be an underlying crime charged and a conviction before the money can be forfeited. But they pestered me and said, look, this has to be unanimous. We have to all sign this. And then I wouldn't agree to it. Obviously, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You could just go grab somebody's money. Hey, you got a bag of money there. I'm going to take it. And the only way for you have to file a bond if you want to contest this, and you have to hire your own attorney at your own expense to prove that this is yours. So all this did was undo that. The cops still have the ability to take your money, but they have to charge an underlying crime. So
seems like a completely reasonable change to that law.
Indeed.
And actually, fortunately, the change went through. The legislature passed it, and the governor signed it against the wishes of the Sheriff's Association in Arizona. I just think that's just so disgusting, you know, and how could any of them claim that they're kind of any freedom-loving sheriff or standing up to for the Constitution or innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But that was one example.
Well, we've done a number of stories here on Free Talk Live about things. Somebody withdraws their savings, puts it in a suitcase, tries to get out of the country. It'll go retire somewhere else, and they're carrying cash. And, of course, the government finds it, takes it, and they have no recourse.
It's kind of weird how this is a new thing that started about 12 years ago, this pilot program for the U.S. officials to search you as you are leaving.
That's what I was going to ask you, how long has been going on.
Yeah, there's 3 Supreme Court cases that kind of expanded on what's called extended border search authority. These are the same Supreme Court rulings that give CBP the supposed authority to stop you, detain you, search you, and interrogate you any place within 100 miles of an international border.
Mm.
But as Scott Horton has pointed out, two-thirds of the United States, two-thirds of the 340 million people that live in the United States live within 100 miles of an international border.
Right.
That includes cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Miami, San Diego. So, I call this the Constitution-free zone, meaning you can be searched for no cause if you're within that range of this extended border search authority. And then they started thinking, well, if we can search people within 100 miles of the border, why can't we search them while they're going south, while they're crossing into Mexico as well? So
right.
The light bulb went on in their head. This was a temporary pilot project 12 years ago in my town. There would just be guys, CBP officers, standing in the southbound lane just saying, hey, let me look into your car. But now there's a permanent structure. There's a shade structure. There's bathrooms there. There's permanent.
Nothing so permanent as a temporary government program.
So this is you going into Mexico. But when you get to Mexico, the Mexicans don't care. They're just like, come on in with your, the gringos come in with your dollars.
Yeah, you got money.
Our economy.
Right.
Yeah, come on in.
So,
wow.
Is this something where they're actually allowed to force a search on people, or are they like sneakily getting them to consent to a search
now,
on the way out?
They try to always get the consent because the U.S. Attorney's Office wants a confession. If any of this was ever contested, they want a confession just to make the case easier. But they will claim under their border search authority, they would assert doesn't just mean northbound, doesn't just mean coming in. It can mean leaving, too. So the way they've defined it, and their chief counsel's office for CBP has defined the border search authority as applying to that zone, not just a direction of travel, not just coming into the U.S. So they actually claim that they have the illegal authority to do that, to actually dig through your car and ask you questions. Now, you can do the usual thing and say, I don't answer questions or I don't consent to any searches. But that will be Joseph Wambaugh's contempt of cop. They'll be like, okay, this guy's being a problem. And then they'll even focus in more on you. So, that's the right thing to do, to not give them permission. But at the same time, they're likely to gang up on you.
Have you heard of people who have refused?
Yeah. And what they'll do is they'll set you aside. They have holding cells in the secondary area. So, and then they'll search your car and they'll run it through the x-ray machine because they claim they have the authority in that border zone.
Wow. That's just insane. Because I know when Mark went through years ago, he was in El Paso at one of the internal checkpoints, and he refused to answer their question. They didn't like it, but ultimately they waved him through.
And they even see small dollar amounts, like $1,000, that are well under the $10,000 reporting requirement, and they'll say, well, you're probably doing what we call smurfing. That means multiple shipments to get under the $10,000 threshold.
And they'll take it. They'll take it anyway. All right. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.